So tonight is the second half, part two, called The Plan. And we're going to come out with our main verse, which is Ephesians 6 and 10 here in just a few minutes. But the real title of it is called Under Pressure. Under Pressure. I don't normally give this out ahead of time, but I always write down it's referred to as a big idea. This is what I want you to walk away with. When you walk away from service tonight, I want you to walk away with this idea. Problems and difficulties are permitted by God to help us grow in faith. I want to say that again. Problems and difficulties are permitted by God to help us grow in faith. And so our key verse for tonight, and I've got quite a few scriptures I'm going to read. So if I go too fast, slow me down. Feel free, just raise your hand and slow me down. Ephesians 6 and 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Let's everybody say that. Be strong in the Lord. One more time. Be strong in the Lord. If you can be strong in the Lord, you can also be weak in the Lord. And we talked about that last week, and we're going to just give a quick review on that. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And immediately after this scripture, Paul talks about putting on the armor of God to do spiritual battle. So we have to do battle. You're in a warfare, whether you think you are or not, you are in a spiritual warfare. So be prepared. And Paul is saying to all of us, be strong in the Lord. So I'm just going to review just a little bit of what we did about part one. First thing you need to know is you need a plan. You don't get where you want to go unless you know the destination. You gotta have a plan. Nobody ends up being the best at anything without having a plan to get there. There's gotta be a series of steps to get where you're going. Dwayne, you know this, traveling on the road. You gotta know every stop you gotta make, right? Okay, so every stop when you're driving your truck, you gotta have a plan. So there's always this thing going on. So spiritually, we need a plan to grow in faith. And so the thing is, we want to be strong in the Lord. If I asked you to raise your hand, who does not want to be strong in the Lord? I doubt I'd get any hands raised, because everybody wants to be strong in the Lord. But there is a phrase that if you aim at nothing, you're going to hit it every time. So you got to have a plan. You don't want to be a Christian who's weak, who's not a blessing to anybody, who's always on the needy side, but never on the blessing side. You want to be strong in the Lord. And the way we said you do that is you start out with small steps. Okay, small steps. You don't have to all of a sudden, you know, people make New Year's resolutions. I'm going to lose 50, 100 pounds, you know, whatever that is. That's too big. Don't start that. You know, if you're going to make a New Year's resolution to get healthy and lose some weight, say, I'm going to lose 10 pounds and then work on that. After you finish that, then work on the next 10. You know, do it in smaller increments. Don't try to do it all at once. And then also last week, we reminded everyone that successful people who are successful in being strong in the Lord and in whatever aspect of your life, successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. Because there's some people just do something like you might exercise or go walking one day out of a week. Well, I doubt you're going to get real healthy walking one day out of a week. They recommend you do it so much time a day and so many days per week, and then you start feeling the effects of it later. And that's another thing. Don't let setbacks like getting sick. Sometimes you get a cold or you get something happen in your life. These setbacks can temporarily halt the plan that you're doing. And you don't want those setbacks to halt your progress. Now, like me and Aaron, we've been in the habit here lately, now I guess going on 3 weeks, of getting up early in the morning and spending at least a half an hour praying and reading our scriptures and doing that. But here's another most important aspect of last week. Get alone with God. Get alone with God. Jesus had to do it. We have to do it. We got to get alone with God. And when you do, talk to him plainly. Okay, you don't have to talk to him in King James English. Just talk to him, just like you would a friend or your spouse or something. You know, just pour out your heart. And then the last thing I mentioned is listen to his voice. Just listen. I mean, because sometimes we do all the talking, we're never listening to the Holy Spirit. God's got something to say to you. Might be through his word, or it might be through the Holy Spirit speaking to you, but you know, you gotta be able to hear. So keep all that in mind. But anyway, this next section I have is, you've heard the phrase, and especially it comes from people who work out, bench press, and you know, Jason, he does that now. I used to, but I don't anymore. I've kind of gotten weak in that area, but Jason has to be strong. And by the way, he's teaching his kids, and Michael, my grandson, and his son, to work out, you know, get stronger. Now that they're in high school, they're thinking about taking up sports. Well, that's what sports, all you have to do is take football. And I don't know how many in here have played football, but boy, you work out when you're in football. You really work out, because the end result is to be able to beat the team, the other team. You want to beat that other team. That's your goal. But you do it in small steps. You get stronger. You work out the defensive and offensive plans. See where I'm going with this? You got plans and hopefully strategies that you're going to beat the team. And so the phrase that they always say, no pain, no gain. I always hated that phrase, because when you exercise, I used to run. I don't know how many people know this, but I used to run. I eventually got it to where I ran 5 miles, 3 times a week, 5 miles. You wouldn't know it now, but after I hyperextended my leg, my running days were over. No, I got to where I could run 5 miles, and I loved it. But boy, there were some days, you know, you're putting on those shoes and you're like, oh man, I don't know if I want to go out running today. It's cold, it's dreary, it's, you know, whatever it is. And summertime was usually worse for me because it'd be too hot. You know, I could be running good through the winter and then all of a sudden the weather changed and get hot. Well, I might go from 5 miles to 3 miles because I couldn't breathe. It's just that much difference. I'm telling you, it's that much difference. But I made myself do it. I kept that plan going. And yes, I gave myself time for rest, but there was pain. And sure enough, I was able to gain. I was able to gain distance. Now, regardless of what you hear, some televangelists will preach. They will teach you that Christians should never have problems. Well, I beg to differ. Jesus said, in this world, you will always have what? Trouble. You're going to have trouble. Even he encountered problems and trouble. And so I don't expect anything less, because he said in one part, he actually used a tree metaphor. If they do this thing with the green tree, what will they do in the dry? That's us. We're the dry trees, and he was the green tree. If they're going to persecute him, what are they going to do to us? So yes, trouble will come. But here's the thing. God doesn't do it. James tells us that he cannot be tempted with evil, and he never tempts people with evil. But he permits it. He permits it. And I hope you will come out and understand that. So your answer to growing in faith and becoming strong in the Lord might actually be in the problem you're facing right now. I don't know what each one of you are facing, but everyone is facing something. Even me, you know, we're all facing something. And maybe at different levels. But you know what? And I've heard this phrase, and I actually kind of like it. But you let the problem glorify God. And the phrase that I heard was, don't tell God how big your problems are, but tell your problems how big your God is. And I like that phrase, because it's talking to the mountain. What did Jesus say? If you have faith as much as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, you know, be there removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be done for you. So don't think just because you're in a problem that God's punishing you. Okay, now if you know you've been a bad boy, bad girl, God might be punishing you or chastening you. I should use that word, because the Bible does say he chastens them whom he loves. If God didn't love us And I never, when I was growing up as a kid, didn't understand, Mom, get out a belt or a switch. And she said, I'm going to give you a spanking, but I want you to know I love you. I just couldn't see it at the moment. I just couldn't see it. And I'm thinking, you know, whatever I did, I don't think it was that bad. But she says, you know, I love you. And I'm like, I don't see it. I just can't see it. But I took my lickings, and I did. And so I had to endure those things. But in some respects, I was trouble to her. I was distressing her. Whatever my behavior was, I was testing her. So rather than being a problem for her, I want to read this real quick because I need to read through the scriptures as quickly as possible. But James tells us this. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, that's old King James English. That simply means troubles of any kind. So he's saying, count it all joy. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just can't see it. You know, I get a flat tire. Right when I'm in a hurry, maybe I'm late for a doctor's appointment, I get a flat tire. I cannot have joy, I feel like, in that situation. Oh, praise the Lord, I have to change my tire just before being late for the doctor's office. No, I can't see myself doing that too often. But he's talking about when you have troubles of any kind, just understand that, you know, this is testing your character, okay? If I'm going to fly off the handle and just rant and rave for 10 minutes rather than get in there and fix that tire, then what have I accomplished? Not a thing. I have not grown in faith because I've sat there and I've just fussed and fumed over a flat tire that I could have just got in there and started fixing and get going. And the thing is, too many of us will do that. We'll fuss, we'll fume, we'll procrastinate, we'll just say, well, there's no use in doing that, and there we go. We were becoming weak Christians, and we're not letting the problem or the trouble actually work within our character and build us up in the faith in God. So James here is saying, count it all joy when you fall into these divers temptations, these troubles of every kind. And you might think, well, what kinds of troubles? Well, everything. Everything from the least little bit of a problem to the worst case scenario you can think can happen. Look what William Gillespie right now is going through and his family. That's why my heart is burdened for them. But hopefully, it will drive them closer to God. No matter how serious the trouble, let it drive you to the Lord, because that's going to test where your heart lies. The Bible says where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. So drive to the Lord. James goes on to tell us too, verse 3, he says, knowing this, that the trying or the testing of your faith worketh patience. That would be, and when I read cheerful endurance, I thought, there again, I don't always see that cheerful part. But you endure, okay? You endure, cheerful endurance. So it's to make you more patient without overreacting before it's time. Let God work in you. And he says this, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect or complete and entire, wanting, in other words, lacking or needing nothing. So James is telling us, look, you're going to have problems. They're going to come your way. But let it work. Let it work through you. Let it build your character. I'm telling you that when it comes time that something hits you hard, you get a bad medical report or you get some, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an example, but you get something you didn't expect maybe and it's just got you all been out of shape. This is the time when you got to sit down, get along with God, and turn it over to Him and just tell Him about it. Okay? I can remember even when I was in school, one of my biggest concerns was as I was getting in 10th grade, most of my cousins and other people, they were already dating and doing some other things. And I was real concerned whether or not I was going to have a girlfriend or not. And here I ended up marrying one of those beautiful Ramus women. They always seemed to age real well. And I thought, oh my goodness. I said, I lucked up. And so here we've been married now, gosh, since 81. This is 37 years. How about that? I mean, and so I got the last laugh, you know, because I was telling my grandson on the way to church this morning, Glenn, you don't know this, but when I was, my cousin drove your bus with your girls on it. My cousin drove that bus. And we would sometimes, because he'd have to park at his house, he'd go right by mine, so we'd ride home with him. Anyway, one of my cousins was just having fun with me because he knew I was kind of a shy person. And he pointed at Deronda and he said, this girl right here likes you. And she was right across the aisle from me. And I turned over and I looked at her and I said, really? And she went, no, I don't like you. Ha, I married her. Took some time, but I ended up marrying her. So who got the last laugh? I did. So, I mean, the thing is, there was a plan in that. I used to write her notes and all kinds of things. And so I had a strategy. I had a plan. I was trying to romance her like crazy. And I finally got to where I kept asking her out. And she would put me off. What it was, she was waiting on asking Glenn. Glenn, she was scared to death to ask Glenn. And she finally asked him. And that's how it all came to be. So it's just great that it worked out. And I love my family. I love what I got. And God has blessed me tremendously. But that's not to say that we've not had problems. We've had many problems. And I think every young couple, when they get married, have problems. Not just even when they first get married, but even later in years, you have problems. So it's going to come. But let the problem build your character. Take it to God is my point. Take it to God. Remember the big idea I told you at the beginning, that problems and difficulties are permitted by God to help us grow in faith. And so Peter even says this. He says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye be in heaviness. I tell you, problems can be heavy, very heavy. You be in heaviness through manifold or many temptations or trials, however you want to say the word. So Peter's, he's saying here, he said, greatly rejoice. You still give praise to God, even if we are in a season of heaviness through these manifold trials and troubles and situations in our families and everything that's going on. You can't see a way out. And that's the issue, by the way. You can't see a way out. God sees it from beginning to finish. God sees it from beginning to finish. It's you who cannot see the way out. And it's you who has to put your trust in God. If you want to be a strong Christian, strong in the faith, not weak in the faith, but strong in the faith, you have to tell Him your heart and you have to believe in Him, trust that He is a good God. We even talked about Job, how he lost everything, and Job continued to worship God. And so that's interesting, I think. And Peter goes on to say that the trial of your faith, now this is something I want you to catch, verse 7, chapter 1, verse 7 of 1 Peter, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold. You see that? God is more interested in your faith, in your character, than He is in the situation itself. He wants to show Himself strong. There's a sign out there, if you get a chance, look at the picture that's out there on the wall. For the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro across the earth, looking for those whose heart is perfect toward Him, to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward Him. God wants to show Himself strong to you. Believe that. Trust that. And so Peter says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So he's saying, you know what? These problems you're having, it can be heavy. Yes, it can. But it can refine your faith, which is more precious than gold to the Lord. He's more interested in your faith, in your character. How are you going to react to your problems? Again, they're small. They come in all sizes. They're small. There's some that's medium size. And then there's others that are just absolutely devastating. I guess that's the only word I can really call it, devastating. I mean, sometimes things happen and we question, we wonder why God allowed such a thing to happen, but it can devastate us. It can test our faith. If you go back and read Psalm 73, Asaph got that way. Asaph was actually a song leader in the temple. Okay, he was a song leader in the temple. He even come to the conclusion, and I can't imagine writing this in a psalm, because a psalm is like a song that we sing up here. So eventually it got sung, but when he was writing it, he probably didn't know it was going to be sung, but he said, surely I have served the Lord in vain. That was the conclusion he had come to. He thought of all the stuff he had been doing and keeping the law and following God and trusting him. At some point, he got so frustrated in his life, he said, surely, I've done this for nothing. I've served the Lord for nothing. And some people come to that conclusion. In their situations, they come to that conclusion. What's God doing for me? Well, if he saved your soul, he's done everything for you. He's done everything. But yet, there's more to it. And this is where I want to end. I want to conclude with this. Now, it's a lot of scripture, so let me just read through it. And then we're going to close. Okay, we're going to close with this. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. I'm going to read 10 verses pretty quick here. Paul, first of all, I need to say this. Paul was being criticized. He was being criticized that he wasn't as good as an apostle as a lot of people had been saying he was. And maybe not even really an apostle. You know what? He's just not all that great. You know, Paul's not all that, you know? And so Paul is writing to the Corinthians because apparently the people who had been showing up at the Corinthians were bragging about all the stuff they could do or that they knew. And Paul is having to justify himself. Don't you hate that? You know, you got to justify yourself for somebody. They don't think you're all that. But at the same time, you know in your heart that God has called you to do such and such, but they don't believe it. So Paul starts out like this. 2 Corinthians 12 and 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. These are, in other words, he's going to start talking about the visions and revelations of the Lord. Now, he starts out with this. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. It's Paul. Just remember that. It's Paul. He knew a man. He couldn't actually come out and say, hey, it was me. All he said was, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. He didn't even know if he was alive or dead, but he saw this. He said, God knows. He said, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. That's where the heavenly realm. I mean, that is, that, you know, that's where we want to be. And Paul said, when, you know, he was caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man. It was Paul. Remember that. It's Paul. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. How that he was caught up into paradise. It was Paul. And heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for man to utter. Paul heard something in this place of paradise that was just so intense that he could not even come and talk about it. He couldn't talk about it. And then he said, of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Those are the troubles, the persecutions, the problems. So Paul is saying, I'm not going to glory. I'm not going to brag on myself. But if I do any bragging, I'm going to brag on my infirmities, the things that I have trouble with, my weaknesses. Because he continues in verse 6, for though I would desire to glory, in other words, he wants people to know that he has seen all these things and done all these things. He said, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear. In other words, I'm holding back. I'm holding back what I'm going to say, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he hears of me. So, in other words, he didn't want to brag about himself because he didn't want people thinking more about him and who he was than what he really was. He wanted to stay on an even plane. And it's difficult when somebody brags on you. And I mean, they start lifting you up and you're like, you know what? You know, I am somebody. I am something great. And boy, you start to get that big head. Oh my. You start to get the big head. That's going to be your downfall right there. You get the big head and suddenly you're going to have a downfall. But Paul is basically saying that. He said, he wanted to, but he said, I'm holding back lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be. You know, because some people know Paul. They know how he is. They know he can get angry. You remember the scripture where he said he got angry with Peter and he said, I withstood him to the face. You ever got up in somebody's face before? Paul did. Got up in Peter's face. I withstood him to the face, he said. Verse 7, he says this, and lest I should be exalted above measure. So Paul knew that there was something in him that could make him be felt exalted above what he should be. He said, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. I mean, God was dealing with him something fierce. And he said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that thorn was. I wish we did, but we don't. He said, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Why? Paul understood why. Lest I should be exalted above measure. In other words, his pride would take over. That's almost a dirty word when it comes to an apostle. If you let pride take over, then your ministry will decrease. That's why I love John. When John's followers came to John and they said, look, that man you baptized, Jesus over there, they're baptizing more people than you are now. What did John say? I must decrease, he must increase. In other words, it wasn't a competition. It wasn't a competition. So when you're in ministry, it's not a competition. If a church over here is having a great revival and souls are being saved, my goodness, we should praise the Lord and rejoice and pray that happens here. The same thing. Let's not go, oh man, you know, why didn't that happen here? Why couldn't God work here instead of over there? No, wrong attitude. That's pride. So the thing is, Paul's saying here, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. That was to keep him from being too braggadocious. You know, he had to keep him on a level field here. And then he goes on to say, because who likes a messenger from Satan? No one. No one wants to be buffeted. No one wants to be tortured by whatever it was that was bothering him. Paul wanted rid of it. And I don't blame him. And he said, for this thing, I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. Paul didn't want this. But something was given to him, and it was going to keep him from being exalted, being prideful. But then he got a word from the Lord. Verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now here's what I want you to catch, because this is what I'm going to end with. Well, one more verse. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Catch that. When you can't see a way out, when whatever trouble, whatever situation, whatever heartbreak, whatever's got you down, if you can't see a way out, God is there for you, because that's when you're at your weakest. That's when you are going to choose whether you want to come closer to God or get further away from God. Your faith is being tried. It's being tested. And God looks at it more precious than gold. So in this situation of yours, whatever it is, maybe more than one thing. And for some people, I've seen, I think even Eddie even said it this morning, when it rains, it pours, you know, don't it? Sometimes when troubles come, it just comes in waves. Here comes something else. Here comes something else. There's something else you got to deal with. And the Lord is telling Paul, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul says, most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities. In other words, his things that make him weak, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. He needed that power. He wanted that power from Christ, and he wanted it to rest upon him. So when God told him that his grace was sufficient and that strength is always made perfect in weakness, I mean, think back when the Egyptians, the Jews, well, they weren't Jews then, they were the Hebrew children, came out of Egypt. They didn't know how to get across the Red Sea. But guess what? God knew all along what he was going to do. But they figured up, you know what, we're just out here to die. They were giving up already. We're just out here to die. Even after they saw all the miracles in Egypt, they get to the Red Sea. Well, okay, we got this far. We're just out here to die. But God waited till the weakest point and did one of the greatest miracles. And I believe that will and can happen in your life as well. When you get to your weakest, when you're so far down, and I've lifted my hands before and looked up to God in tears, and I said, Lord, I don't see a way out. I don't see anything happening. And it was like I said that to him one day. Me and Dronda were praying over a situation over one of my grandsons. We were afraid we were going to lose custody of one of our grandsons. My son was going to lose custody. And we were praying, and I finally, out of desperation, I looked at Dronda. I said, I don't see God doing anything. And I was exasperated. And do you know, it was the next day. The next day, if I would have held on, God rescued my grandson, took him out of the hands of the person that was not kind to the grandson or us, took him out of their hands and gave him back to Jason. It's a kind of a long story, but at the end of the story was Jason got custody, full custody. But I was at my wit's end. I didn't know what else to do. And I was not giving up. I just simply said, I don't see God doing anything. We had prayed for weeks, and God moved the very next day when I was at my weakest, and he did this. Here's the last thing I want to end with. Paul says, therefore, I take pleasure. Again, it's hard to take pleasure in your problems. He says, I take pleasure in infirmities. These would be his weaknesses. In reproaches, these are when people put him down. In necessities, these are times when he doesn't have enough. And in persecutions, you know what persecution is. He's taken pleasure in that. And in distresses, why? For Christ's sake. He's doing all this not because he wants them to happen to him, but he wants them to build his faith, to make him strong in the Lord, because he finishes up by saying this, when I am weak, oh, please grasp hold of this, then I am strong. And that's what I want to leave you with. When I am weak, then I am strong. Would you please stand? Heavenly Father, oh God, I pray that you apply this message to us tonight. Lord, we don't want to be weak Christians. We want to be strong Christians. We want to be strong in the Lord, to be a blessing to others. And we know that troubles sometimes will come our way, and sometimes the answer to us being strong is in the problem. Yes, we need to embrace it. As hard as it is, sometimes you even say rejoice in it. It's hard to rejoice when you maybe you're about to lose someone. But Lord, we can. We can rejoice that you know our names are written in the book of life. And so, Lord, we know that others, their names also are written in the book of life. So maybe we're not losing them. We're just saying goodbye for a time. And so, Lord, I pray that you will impress upon our hearts to live out this kind of life, Lord, not running away from problems, but be like Paul. When I am weak, therefore I am strong. That's when I'm strong. And that's when the Lord will answer the prayers oftentimes. So, Lord, help us as we go out of here today and apply that to our lives. In Jesus' name and by his authority and for his sake, amen.